This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
And you're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9. In the driving seat tonight, you've got Stu. Mal's unfortunately having a few car problems, and he will be joining us later. And we have a special guest in the second half of our show. But in the first half, as you know, we always do sports news of the week. And this week, we're going to be covering soccer, both the Socceroos results and some local A-League results. We'll also be covering cricket, an issue that's arisen in women's cricket, a fascinating one, and also in the Test series against South Africa. We'll be dealing with other cricketing elements, rugby league, rugby union, and golf. Also, finally, tennis. So they're our sports for the evening. So if we start with the world of the Socceroos. So at the moment, the Australian Socceroos are playing in the Asian section qualifiers for the FIFA World Cup. And in a stunning result, Minnows Thailand managed a 2-2 draw against Australia. Ange Postecoglou's response to critics, doubters, and even those questioning the Socceroos' ability is simply to just watch us play. But unfortunately, if the lackluster performance against Thailand was anything to go by, then perhaps the honeymoon could be over for us as the 2015 Asian champions. Our hope of making the 2018 World Cup in Russia was dealt with a setback after we slumped to a 2-2 draw away to Thailand, which left us criticising ourselves and our own determination. In fact, the result actually flattered us as the visitors because Thailand had the game for most of the game. It was our third game without a win and left us, Australia, our hopes of playing in a fourth consecutive World Cup in the balance after we fell outside the automatic qualification zone of first and second in the pool to third in the pool table, yet to lose a match. Japan leapfrogged us in this congested Group B table after they beat Saudi Arabia 2-1. So that was a really disappointing result, but we've still got some more matches to go, so maybe we will make those World Cup finals in Russia. In other soccer news, the Wellington Phoenix and Melbourne Victory match had to be postponed due to the unfortunate earthquake in New Zealand. Westpac Stadium has been cleared, that's the stadium in Wellington, of major structural damage after the 7.5 Richter scale magnitude quake. The Stadium Trust says that there's superficial damage throughout the building that will require repairs. Its offices and ground floor of the public car park reopened after the venue was closed as a precaution. The chief executive said that the stadium should be operational soon because they'd actually suffered the same sort of damage back in 2013 in the earthquake then. So that was unfortunate news for New Zealand, particularly at the bottom end of the North Island. So other news that we have happening is in cricket. We're going to be talking about the Ashes and also what's happening in women's cricket. With a boom in women's sports, Elise Perry has had to choose between cricket and soccer. Can you believe this talented woman is actually getting closer to earning a full-time living? Could you imagine in men's sports saying the same thing? Because she's actually choosing between cricket and soccer, where she's playing at the highest levels for Australia in both the Matildas and also in the cricket. She's in Canberra this weekend preparing for 5 one-day internationals against South Africa, with the first two being played at the Manuka Oval. It is a city she's familiar with, having played in the Women's League for club Canberra United in the past. Perry left United after former coach Jitka Klimkova forced her to choose between the two sports. Mott encouraged his players to be multi-sport athletes, but Elise in the last 12 months has taken her game to another level in cricket, and he's really believing that she will be focusing on cricket going forward. So that's interesting news from women's cricket. Now turning to the Ashes series, and I'm not going to go through the horrifying results of the second test, which everyone knows about. We had a horror day on the first day and in the final day of the test there. And an embarrassed Steve Smith has unloaded on his dysfunctional team and called for selectors to blood new talent after we crashed to another humiliating defeat. Smith would not say definitively whether he's been given the 11 he wanted, but the normally mild-mannered skipper made no effort to conceal his frustration with the team. He said, "At the moment, it's not good enough. I'm sick of saying it, to be honest with you. It's happened five tests in a row now. For an Australian team, that's humiliating, and I'm embarrassed to be sitting here in this position." So, unfortunately, these are desperate times for Australian cricket, with more than half the team fighting for the test future in Shield matches this week. It could be a dramatically different-looking 11 that takes to the field in the third test, the third and final test against South Africa in Adelaide next week, where we're fighting to avoid our first whitewash on home soil. The battering in Hobart was by an innings and 80 runs and was Australia's fifth loss on the trot, handing South Africa their third consecutive series victory on these Australian shores. Australia had their worst start to a home summer since 1988, when the mighty West Indies trounced Alan Border's men in Brisbane and Perth. So that's the disappointing news in cricket. So let's turn to some other sports now, and we'll shortly be being joined by my co-host, Malcolm. So now we're going to talk about some rugby league and rugby union news. First, let's have a look at the result in rugby league, where Australia is cruising into the Rugby League Four Nations final with a win over England. So the Kangaroos knocked out England in the Four Nations. Melbourne Inga looks set to achieve his aim of piloting Australia back to the top of the rugby league heap in just 6 months, which is an amazing effort. The Green and Golds remain undefeated under the iconic Queenslander after cruising into the Four Nations final at Anfield with a patient and clinical 36-18 win over England at the London Olympic Stadium in Stratford. There they will meet a New Zealand side that by all rights should still be demoralised after they were held to a historic draw with Scotland on Friday night. And they'll certainly be without 5'8" Thomas Laluau, who broke his jaw in two places in that match. Wayne Bennett's recruitment by England is so far a failure, and we wonder how tempted he will be to pick Australians with English family ties for the World Cup next year. He said, "I don't think that they're that many points better than us," and he told the disappointed crowd of more than 35,000. So we're also going to be calling in Malcolm Campbell very shortly.
Hi, Stu.
How's your car?
Have you told everyone why I'm not there?
All I've said is you've had car trouble, so please tell our listeners what's going on.
Oh, my car's broken down in the middle of the intersection of Burke and Exhibition Street.
Oh, no.
And I've just been on the phone to the RAC to come and tow me away, but obviously I couldn't get to the studio with you. So sorry about that, but I can co-host the show from the car as I'm being towed away.
Well, I mean, you're just returning the favour of my sporting activities around the world over the last 3 months. So you've certainly done that. But we've managed to talk so far about rugby league, rugby union, soccer, yes, and cricket. And where we were taking our listeners to now was the story about the Wallabies being relieved after the Scotland escape, but they won't let their guard down against France.
Oh, okay, good.
So
I've got my homework with me, Stuart.
good on you.
I printed it out, so it's all good. So we're up to the Wallabies.
Yeah, yes, we're talking about the match in Paris. David Pocock has described the mood within the Wallabies camp as one of relief after their nail-biting 23-22 win over Scotland. But he assures that they won't let their guard down against France this weekend.
Yeah.
What happened in the match was that there was a 75th-minute try to Tavita Kurudrani.
Pronounce that one again for us.
Tavita Kurudrani, Pocock's Brumbies teammate, and that clinched.
And we clinched a come-from-behind win for our men, and they were very lucky to beat Scotland 23-22 after such a lacklustre start, Stuart.
Yes.
Now, I think that you know they're going on to Paris now. I think they can give the what do they call them? The bleu, the French.
Yeah, le bleu.
Le bleu. A good showing there in Paris, definitely. So I say go Wallabies. They can continue their grand tour of Europe. Now, sorry, Stuart, it's gone through one ear and out the other. What sports have we covered again?
Well, as the listeners would know, we've covered men's and women's cricket. We've covered men's and women's soccer, rugby league and rugby union. We've talked about the union match in Paris. Mm-hmm. So where we're at now with our sporting news of the week is why don't you take us through a bit of tennis? What's happened in the Fed Cup?
Of course. The Fed Cup was held on the weekend in Strasbourg in France, and the Czech Republic paid France. And in a nail biter, the Czech Republic came home in the final rubber in the doubles and won 3-2. A scratch pairing of Barbara Sitsova and Carolina Pliskova beat the world number one doubles team from France, Caroline Garcia and Kristina Mladenovic, 7-5, 7-5. But that's only after Caroline Garcia had a great match where she beat Petra Kvitova, and she also beat Carolina Pliskova, I think. And the very first match of the rubber was Carolina Pliskova and Kristina Mladenovic. Hello to Dougal Austin, if you're listening. One of your favourite players is Kristina. And she won that match 16-14 in the third.
Wow. Like, that's an amazing 16-14 in the third.
Yeah, very long match. And so the Czechs have won it for the fifth time out of 6 years. And then the French, it was their first final for 11 years. And their captain and coach, Amélie Mauresmo, took them from regional qualification to the final and then announced she was resigning because she's pregnant with her second child.
Okay.
Yeah. So very interesting. And currently being played, Stuart, in London is the World ATP final. And it's only the round robin stages at the moment, and there's only been a couple of days of play. So we'll certainly report on that next week. Now, Stuart, are you aware whether both phone lines are working? Because I think last time I had a problem with the second phone line. We will be able to have our second guest. You ask our panellist.
yes, we will be able to have our second guest, so don't worry about that. We'll be able to sort that.
Oh, that's good.
So why don't we talk now about Formula One Grand Prix?
Oh, yes.
So in Sao Paulo, my favourite country at the moment, Brazil, Lewis Hamilton won a rain-hit Brazilian Grand Prix to take the Formula One title battle with Mercedes teammate Nico Rosberg into the season's last race in Abu Dhabi in 2 weeks. World champion Hamilton took the checkered flag for his first win in Brazil. He was about 11 seconds ahead of Rosberg, who now needs to finish third or higher in Abu Dhabi to capture the championship for the first time. He said, I was just generally chilling up front. When it rains, it's usually a good day for me, said Hamilton, who with his 52 Grand Prix victories has now gone past Alain Prost in the all-time list and is second only to Michael Schumacher on 91 victories. To Australian news in that race, unfortunately, Daniel Ricciardo finished eighth after his race was severely hampered by a five-second time penalty incurred for entering the pit lane while it was closed.
Right. 5 seconds. And did that make a difference to his overall placing?
Well, it did. So he was eighth. With cars crashing all over the soaked circuit, he and Red Bull ignored that the pit lane was closed due to the stricken Sauber of Ericsson blocking the pit entrance and made a stop.
Yeah.
That was unfortunate.
It was pouring with rain, wasn't it, Stuart?
That's right.
Why they were all playing smash-up derbies, I
think. Yes,
yes.
So they slapped a penalty on him and that did affect him. Anyway, that's the result overall in the Drivers' Championship. So what else would you like to talk about, Malcolm? What other sports have taken your interest this week? What about golf?
I'm being honked by someone rude. It's not my fault. The car's broken down. I've got my hazards on and my boot open.
When was the last time you had the car serviced?
Only less than 10 days ago at Mercedes. So I'll be having words with them.
Yeah.
It was on the Friday after Oaks Day.
Yeah.
So,
well, why don't we talk golf now? So in the Australian Open 2016, Peter Senior is going to retire from tournament golf, and it's after a low-key farewell tour.
And do you know why he's retiring, Stuart?
No, you tell me.
He's retiring because he's had so many injuries, and given his age, he's in his mid-50s, that he said, you know, just bending down to pick up the ball, it hurts. So, you know, when you play golf for that many years, you know, a lot of swinging of the midsection of the body and the shoulders and the hamstrings get a good whack sometimes. So, yeah, he's decided it's time to you know, hang up the clubs and put away the tees and the ball and retire, but retire gracefully and low-key, because the Australian PGA is on the Gold Coast, and then, of course, the Australian Open, which is being played where? I forget. But look, he's proved that you can win top-level titles, such as the Australian Open, the PGA and the Masters, in your 50s, and he became the oldest player to win the Australian Open when he was 53 in 2012. So that makes him 56.
It does. Yeah. Now, Malcolm, that's our sports news of the week. Now we're going to come back with our special guest, who is Brian Emerson.
That's right. And I've warned Brian that I might be on the phone because I've got all the questions here on my phone. So I've got a lot of things to ask him.
Well, Malcolm, if we lose you, I will ask Brian to just talk about his career and what's happening. But he's a fascinating individual.
Right. Yes, that's right. Brian is 4 times Mr. Australia and 1 time Mr. World bodybuilder.
Wow.
And and he is my personal trainer. And he is going to whip me back into shape. And I'll try and send you the questions from my phone to your phone so that you will have them in front of you as well.
I was riding my horse.
I was microwaving a watermelon.
My iguanas escaped!
There are lots of reasons you might have missed your favourite show, but don't worry, because our podcast team has you covered. They work through rain, hail and national glitter shortages to bring you the best bits of every show. Visit joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab. Thanks to our podcasters, you'll never feel guilty about missing a show again.
Welcome back to That Sports Show. You're in the second half of our show. But now, Malcolm, do we have you on the line?
I'm still here.
You're still here, Malcolm. Good. So would you introduce our guest this evening?
Yes. We have joining us Brian Emerson.
Are you there, Brian?
I certainly am.
Great. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hi, Brian. I'm glad
we're both
on the line, but you know why I'm on the line. I texted you. The car's broken down, and I'm still in the car waiting for the RAC. But Brian is my personal trainer at Body Matrix Gym in South Melbourne, run by Rowan Reed, 3-time Mr. Australia. And Brian is 4 times Mr. Australia and 1 time Mr. World. But he is training me to get my knee back into place. And obviously, someone like Brian as a bodybuilder knows the muscles and the way the body works. And I've been training with him now for nearly 3 months. Brian, is that right?
Yeah, about that, yeah.
Yeah. And so, Brian, you're coming up to going to the World Championships again in Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic in December. So I thought we'd get you on the show and talk about your life in bodybuilding and personal training and how you got to be where you are now. So,
well, thank you very much, Malcolm, for asking me. I'm really flattered that you did, actually.
That's all right. Now, Brian, how did you start out in training in the gym in general?
I was a track athlete as a high school student, and I was running at national level, and my coach back then never let me do weights. And it was one of those banes of my life, you know, these other kids in high school getting to do weights, and I didn't. So it wasn't until I stopped doing athletics and I finished school that I got into the gym, and I started going to the gym, you know, off and on from the age of about 18 onwards. But was, you know, a bit of a hack. I didn't really know what I was doing. And I'd go maybe for a year and I'd sort of peter out and get bored or slack off or whatever. And it wasn't until I was 40 and I'd moved to Melbourne. And after a relationship breakdown and sort of, you know, needing to find something in my life. And one day at work, walking up several flights of stairs and losing my breath and saying to myself, my God, I've just gone up two flights of stairs and I'm puffing and panting. When I bend over and do up my shoelaces, my stomach hurts. If I don't do something about this now, I'm going to die. So I went, right, I'm going to go back to the gym. Before moving to Melbourne, I'd worked in local government and we had free gym membership as part of that job. And I was going three times a week, but you know, I never really knew what I was doing. So I started at a gym down here. And within a couple of months, I went, I'm going to get my first PT ever and learn how to do this stuff properly. So I was with that PT for close to a year, and he started to get a bit unreliable. And I was pretty happy with what I was achieving. But he, you know, was going through the motions, and I wasn't that happy, and I wasn't that happy at the gym. So I got on Google, and I found at that stage a Mr. Australia who had his own PT gym at South Melbourne. And I thought, okay, he's a national champion, and he obviously knows what he's doing. I'm going to inquire with him.
So that was Rowan Reed at Body
that
Max
was Rowan,
Gym in South Melbourne.
And so I started with Rowan in 2000, end of 2011.
And what did he say to you when you first went there? What did he say? Did he say you've got potential? Let's do something about your body.
Well, after 2 weeks of training with him, he said to me, "So when are you getting on stage?" And I said, WTF? No, I don't want to. I just want to look like I could. I'd like to look like I could get on stage. And he shook his head and said, "No, look, you've got a pattern in life where you start something and you know you either burn out or you get bored and you give up. If you don't have a proper goal and sort yourself out, you're just going to repeat history." So he asked one of the other clients in the gym at the time, "When's that rookie competition you're thinking about?" And this was in the middle of November 2011, and the other guy said, "Oh, I think it's March." And he went, "There you go, March." And I nearly fell on the floor. I said, "What, that's 4 months away? You want me to compete in the body?" And he said, "You're fine. You've got good genetics. You've got good shape. You're just fat. We need to put you on a diet. 1st of December, we're going to stick you on a diet, and you'll be right." And I went, "Oh, my God." So that was 1st of December 2011. And then by March 2012, I was in my first competition, which was CITEX here in Melbourne, which is now... Yeah. become the Arnold Classic, which I actually am the event manager for. It sort of has come full circle.
I love the name there, the Arnold Classic. Well done.
It's Arnold Schwarzenegger is the owner of that event. My boss, Tony Doherty, is the Australian partner. So it's run by Arnold Schwarzenegger. And so 2 weeks later, after that competition, I went to the Australasian Championships in Sydney and I won my class, which is called Classic.
Yeah.
And since then, I've just kept on going, and I've won two Australasian Championships, two National Championships, World Masters. I've come second and third at the World Masters. I won State Championships. I've won FedEx. So in the 4 or 5 years that I've actually been doing it, I've been extremely successful, and, you know, it's basically all due to Rowan's amazing tutelage is all I can say. I mean, sure, my genetics are fantastic, but I couldn't capitalise on that without his knowledge.
Well, it comes with not only genetics, that's a very good start, but it comes with training, but nutrition is definitely very important, isn't it?
Rowan says it's 100% training and 100% nutrition and 100% effort.
So can I ask a couple of questions about how the Masters competition works? Is there are there categories for athletes who have been taking performance-enhancing drugs and athletes who haven't?
No. So it's not like, I think the gay games or the out games, one of them has a tested and non-tested. Now, the IFBB is a tested competition.
So fully tested. Yeah. Okay. And my next question is, have you ever competed in a gay or an out games?
No, I haven't, actually, because I've only been competing for the last... since 2012 was my first competition, mainstream bodybuilding competitions with the IFBB have been my focus. And I've thought about it once or twice, but it's because I've competed internationally from 2013, 14, 15 and 16, so for the last 4 years, it takes a lot of money and a lot of effort to compete internationally. And I would love to, but it just hasn't been on my radar. However, when I was working for the Arnold Classic Asia in Hong Kong just back in August, the guys who are putting together their campaign to bring the, I can't remember if it was the out or the gay games to Asia, were one of our exhibitors. And they're saying to me, we've got to get you involved with it. And it's like, oh, yeah, but I'm in Australia.
No, Brian, that's the gay games 2022. Hong Kong is bidding to hold them. But bodybuilding's not in the gay games in 2018 in Paris, but they hope to bring it back for 2022. But they are having them in the out games in 2017 in Miami, and who knows, if all stars collide, you might do that.
And Malcolm and I are both going to be there in Miami Beach, so we'd love to see you on the stage strutting your stuff.
When in 2017 is it? What month?
May and June.
End of May, early June.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind. I mean, it is a big budgetary thing. It's costing me several for Rowan and I to go to the World Masters in the Dominican Republic. It's costing us thousands each to get there.
Yeah, it does. It does. Now, Brian, we wish you the very best of luck in the World Masters in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, and we'll have you back in the studio with your first place trophy or another trophy. When you return.
Thank you. I cannot wait to do that. And a big cheers from everybody here at Body Gay Tricks. I had to drop that. just remember, people out there, Body Matrix in South Melbourne, we're extremely LGBTI friendly, even so much so that one of our clients dubbed us Body Gay Tricks a few years ago because we have so many gay clients.
That's great to know.
That's right, Stuart. I seem to think that, I'm certainly not alone in the gym there, so I feel very comfortable. So that's all good. Now, Brian, thanks for joining us, and I'll see you in the gym.
Thanks, boys. I'll see you soon.
Thanks, Brian. So, Malcolm, we're now going to use these 30 seconds to wind up the show. So we heard from you on Fed Cup tennis. We talked about women's cricket, men's cricket, the unfortunate Ashes series results for Australia to date against South Africa, where we unfortunately lost the series and hoping to avoid a whitewash. That's right. We talked about rugby union and rugby league and some of the successes that the Australian teams have been having in both league and union. And we finished off with a discussion about the results in the Grand Prix. You've been on That Sports Show, and thanks for joining us this evening.
And Stuart, come and see me in the car after the show.
I will.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.